Naaman did not know where the solution was going to come from. Naaman received an information from a source that may look weak, but that information led to his deliverance. He soaked himself in the Jordan River 7 times and his problem was removed. We do not know why he had to do it 7 times. Neither do we know why the servant of Elijah had to go out 7 times. But after that sevenfold agenda, there was a testimony. A volcanic testimony. There are 7 strange prayers I want you to pray now. After these 7 strange prayers, there shall be uncommon testimonies. It will be a tragedy if you keep quiet. It will also be a tragedy if you allow the angel of blessing to pass you by because you are not violent enough. Say, anyone who has accepted witchcraft for my sake. Can I hear you saying this loud and clear? Be disgraced by fire. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray it loud and clear. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Makatenda rabo sempelaba. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, aggressive element. Aggressive element. Targeted to disgrace me. Can I hear your voice roaring like thunder? Die! In the name of Jesus. Deal with the aggressive elements. Piatasa ni katanda rabokanda. Ribo soponde keye bo shente. Aha. In Jesus' name we pray. So every evil power that has established authority in my family. Can I hear you roaring like fire? Your time is up. Die! In the name of Jesus. Yes, if you have established authority in my family, I cancel the authority. Aha, 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 aha. Pata senta yabo shanta. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm making fantastic progress. Every biting demon, be silenced. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it. Aha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. 3 more prayers. Every alignment of witches to steal from me. Scatter! Scatter the alignment in the name of Jesus. Yes. Scatter. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I remove my name from the register of the wasted. Can I hear you shout this loud? In the name of Jesus, open your mouth, remove your name from the register of the wasted. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, every power cursing me unto death. Can you say this loud and clear? Can you say it with a tone of authority? Can you shout it with a tone of finality? Death! In the name of Jesus. Basanta la kalaboko shentera basanta. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. And we praise your holy name for your mighty power, your mighty strength. We thank you because there is none like unto you. For your power is the absolute power. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, we are before you now. Open our understanding. Lay your hands upon us. Let us war a good warfare. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. A louder amen. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Last week, Wednesday, we started on the series 70 Rules of Spiritual Warfare. That was last week, Wednesday. To recap briefly, because of those who were not here, that day we read 10 deep passages in order to anchor the message. And we said that day that the Bible itself is a military book. We read Exodus 15:3. Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. We read Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We read 1 Timothy 6:12, that we should fight the good fight of faith. We read Psalm 144 verse 1, that is God that teaches our hands to war and our fingers to battle. We read 1 Corinthians 9:26, so run high not with uncertainty and a fight, not as one that beateth the air. We eventually got around to reading Deuteronomy 20, where he talks about the rules of warfare that God gave to the Israelites. And then we went into why you must fight. We established that there is a war on. Whether you believe it or not, it's not relevant. Even if you think you're not fighting the battle, it's not relevant. That everybody is in a war. Job said, man that is born of a woman is of few days and is full of trouble. And I told you that many of us are fighting our war now. Some have fought certain wars and they have succeeded. They are still fighting others. We say you must fight to possess your possession. You must fight to enlarge your coast. You must fight to defend yourself and your territory. You must fight to recover what the enemy has stolen from you. You must fight to fulfill your destiny. Actually, the greatest war you are going to fight is war to fulfill your destiny. We said that we must fight because the only language the enemy understands is violence. There is no gentle way of arresting anything that is evil. We say you must fight or you perish. We must fight because war has been declared against us. We must fight because peace and justice are sometimes unachievable without war. Many times when there is no war, there is no peace. We must fight because there are ruthless and wicked entities controlling our world. So we must fight because there are unrepentant and unreconcilable enemies that are fighting man. And so we must fight because they have ordered us to fight. We must fight to redress the wrong that we have suffered. We must fight to key into the mystery of opposition. And I told you last week that opposition is a ladder to honor. Opposition is a gateway to glory. Any way without any hindrance leads to nowhere. And that we must fight, because if we don't defeat the opposition, we don't make progress. That was last week. And we now went into the rules of warfare. And the first rule is know your God. That God is your strength in the battle. Know your God. Know your God. Two, know thyself. Know yourself. Know your limitations. Know your weaknesses. Know your strength. Know yourself. And the third thing we spoke about, that you must know your enemy. That is, you must find a way of probing the enemy. You must find out the secret of the enemy and the hidden intention of the enemy. And I said to you that lack of adequate knowledge about the enemy is a disaster. And we read 2 Corinthians 2:11 that says that Satan will gain advantage of us if we are ignorant. So we have established so far, beloved, that war is a fact of life. It begins the moment we're conceived. The moment we're conceived in sin and iniquity, war begins. Some begin their war from the womb. Immediately they are 1 day old in the womb, their battle starts. And it's a tragedy if your battle starts on your first day in life and it escorts you to the grave. I'm praying for anyone here tonight whose battle has started from the mother's womb, that whether the devil likes it or not, that battle against you shall be scattered. The success of a man's life is measured by comparing the battles he wins against the battle he loses. Each man must confront his own personal warfare and engage in his own personal battles. Gone are the days when prophets would gather somewhere and they say they are praying for somebody for his problem to be solved. Those days have disappeared. Gone are the days when some people believe they can buy prayer. Let me be honest with you. Anyone taking money from you, I want to go and fast for you, I want to go and pray for you, and you are paying that money because you do not want to fast, you are just dashing the person your money. In war, people get wounded. In war, these wounds can be very, very severe sometimes. And unless the wounds are treated, it can damage the quality of life. I decree by the decree of heaven here that anyone here tonight who has been wounded in the battle of life, she will receive the healing touch of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A lot of people have been battered in the battle of life. Some battered so hard that it's after they are thoroughly battered, they get to mountain of fire. Some took their money to places where they battered. After they have battered them, battered the money, battered everything, now come to start fighting. And as in all wars, people get hurt. Sometimes families are separated. Sometimes there is emotional and psychological pain. In all wars, sometimes people are captured. So you may be sitting down here now and you are really captured. There has been war, you've been captured. But you don't even know that you're a captive. Some are taken to the enemy's territory in war. Others are imprisoned, tortured. Some are forced to serve the enemy. Some die in that war camp without fulfilling their destiny. This is where the ministry of confrontation, the ministry of conflict, the ministry of deliverance that liberates, that heals, that restores, this is where that ministry comes in. And that is what God has established mountain of fire for without any apology to anybody. There are people here tonight. If they can understand this teaching, that is the end of failure in life. It's not prayer. It's that you should listen and understand it. So the first rule in warfare, spiritual warfare, know your God. They that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Rule number two, know thyself. Know your limitation. If your mouth is your problem, deal with it. Your body is your problem, deal with it. Your eyes are your problem, deal with it. Know yourself. Because any area of your life that you live without the fire of the Holy Ghost, or you live unattended by the Holy Ghost, becomes a ladder for the enemy. Know yourself very well. Then know your enemy, so that you'll be able to fight a good warfare. Rule number four. Do not depend on human resources, but heavenly resources. Do not depend on human resources, but heavenly resources. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 tells us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10 4. So for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The resources of the Almighty is more powerful and mightier than any other resources, whether human or spirit. Like I was saying somewhere yesterday, if you say you can do magic, the day they find a better magician, you are in trouble. If you say your own is incantation, the day they find somebody who can utter more acidic incantation, you are in trouble. If you say you can light assorted candles to spoil people's life, the day you can get somebody who will light a multicolored candle, you are in trouble. Do not depend on human resources, but heavenly resources. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The resources of the Almighty. That's what we should depend upon. You have spiritual weapons. Learn how to use them. I will use my mouth to deliver myself. You may be surprised that somebody will hold that mouth and you won't be able to talk. I can do this. I can do that. If the resource is not from God, work its way around it and eventually deal with you. Rule number five. Fear God more than the enemy. Fear God more than the enemy. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of what? Wisdom. These days, the fear of the Lord seems to be getting out of the church of God. People fight in church. Two people will tie blow and begin to fight in church. They're fighting. There was a church before, police had to come and use tear gas inside the church to scatter those who were fighting inside the house of God. There was a church the other time, they collected the offering, they gave it to the pastor. As the pastor was praying on the offering, the assistant pastor came and was dragging it. So in the full glare of the congregation, they were struggling for the offering of the people. And they tore the offering back into two in the church. In the church, people come with chewing gum. In the house of God, Even some while the message is going on. In the house of God, somebody is reading newspapers while the service is on. In the house of God, somebody is busy gossiping while the service is on. The fear of God is getting out of the household of God. And as that fear is going away, many more believers are becoming captives in the camp of the enemy. It's so sad. that even people commit immorality inside the holy sanctuary. Inside the sanctuary. This is a very terrible thing. A friend of mine was invited to go and preach in the church. The service was to start 6 p.m. But he got there early around 9 a.m. in the morning. So he decided to locate the church, just go inside the sanctuary and pray and go back to his hotel room to come back for the evening. So he got inside the church. But he was hearing a strange sound behind the altar. He was making noise there. My friend almost collapsed. When he turned around the altar, it was somebody they call church warden and the lady cleaner. They were sleeping with each other right behind the altar. Shows us how the fear of God has gone. It is because there is no fear of God. I see people fighting over seats. Hey, this is my seat. Why did you reserve it? In the house of God. That fear of God must come back in this our generation. If we must hope to have a revival and want to have victory always. Rule number 6. Employ highly accurate spiritual weapons. Employ highly accurate spiritual weapons. There are plenty of weapons in God's armory. Locate the one that is most useful for the battle you are fighting and then begin to use them. Because one weapon may work, the other weapon may not work. So you need to use the highly accurate spiritual weapons. Rule number 7. Exploit the enemy's weaknesses. Exploit the enemy's weaknesses. That is, strike at the weakness of the enemy. Strike at his weaknesses. Because every Goliath has an unprotected forehead. Every Goliath has an unprotected forehead. The Goliath of the Bible was well armored. But there was that space at the forehead. And that weakness was where the stone went. Every enemy has some weaknesses. You should identify it and employ that weakness to your own advantage. 8. You must learn to fight and learn to flee. Learn to fight, learn to flee. That is, learn how to retreat to the fire. When you know you are weak, never fight for the sake of pride. You better run. Running gives you time to recover. By running, the enemy may even feel that you have been defeated. Now you have time and space to plan your counter move. Some people have had to play dead sometimes in order to save their own lives. They then plan a devastating counter blow. You learn to retreat and to refire. It's a rule of war. Rule number 9. Learn how to cut off the enemy's supply system. Learn how to cut off the enemy's supply system. That is, fight the way Moses fought. Moses fought the gods behind the powers of Egypt. Unto every enemy, there is a spiritual force backing them up, and they have a power base. When you cut off the enemy from that power base by the weapon of prayer, then they are powerless to fight you. These are rules of warfare. I decree tonight that any power behind anybody's problems shall be buried alive in the name of Jesus. Rule number 10. Any sin in your life will strengthen the enemy against you. Any sin in your life will certainly strengthen the enemy against you. Sin is a tragedy. Sin is a terrible thing. Anywhere sin is present, heavens will move far away. Anywhere sin is present, the power of God will move away, and it opens the person to the enemy. 11. Rule number 11. Take time to examine prevailing situations thoroughly before waging war. Take time to thoroughly examine prevailing situations before you wage war. Look at your situation. Look at what we are going through. Examine your prevailing situations. Then you begin to wage war. Rule number 12. Search for advantages. Search for your advantages. And as a believer, you have so many advantages over the enemy. Rule number 13. Analyze the strength and weaknesses of your enemy. Analyze the strength and weaknesses of your enemy. Know where they're strong, know where they're weak, and utilize that knowledge effectively. Rule number 14. Know your weapons. Know your weapons. As a believer, know all your spiritual weapons. Know about the blood of Jesus. Know about the word of God. Know about the fire of the Holy Spirit. Know about the weapon of brimstone and fire. Know about the wild wind. Know about the east wind. Settle down, learn those weapons. There are some messages that we have in this ministry that will list all the spiritual weapons we can use for you. Learn those weapons. Learn them thoroughly. Know how to use them. You may say blood of Jesus. You may say fire of the Holy Ghost. You may call all kinds of weapons before a particular enemy will be defeated. A single weapon may not bring the enemy down. That's why David had 5 stones. He didn't pick just one, 5 stones. Just in case the first stone did not bring down the enemy. So he picked the second stone. Rule number 15. Your enemies will always take advantage of your distress. Your enemies will always take advantage of your distress. When you jump out and say, hey! And the neighbors gather. You just gather trouble. It is one of those who gather who will say, yes, yes, that weapon is working now. Continue. It's working now. Continue. This is something you must understand very well. Every panic, every distress of the believer is an advantage to the enemy. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Once you start getting worked up and you begin to panic, you're already losing the battle. It reminds me about that occultic man. The way the occultic man got born again, he was living in a house. He had entered 16 Nigerian cults. A very wicked man indeed. He was living in the house. A believer, a woman was living by the side. Sleeping by the side. Only the wall separated them. The woman did not know that the prayers she prays at night disturbs this evil man. So the evil man decided to deal with her by attacking her only son. 9 a.m. in the morning, the boy began to converse and the woman began to pray. Anytime the boy began to converse and the boy is about to die, the woman will begin to pray. After some prayer, the boys will settle down again. When madam thinks all is over, the attack will start again. She kept on praying and praying and praying and praying. She knew that it was a satanic attack. She didn't know that the man at the other side had a nail he was hammering into a particular thing. Anytime he hammered the nail into the wall, the boy will start the conversion and the attack. Then immediately the woman begins to pray, the nail too jumps out. The man takes the nail again, puts it back there, wah, the boy starts. And this was what was going on from 9 a.m. in the morning. Went on. Around 3 p.m., this wicked man now came, knocked the door of the woman. I said, hello, madam, good afternoon, how are you? The woman said, I'm fine. Say, I can see that your son is sick. Give the boy this concussion to drink. The woman said, no. No concussion. I said, give him now, he's sick. So don't worry. If that boy had taken the concussion, the boy would have been healed. Inverted comma that time, but then he will eventually die. But the woman refused. She continued the prayers until around late in the evening. As the man took the nail to knock it again, the face of an old man appeared on his wall and he said, don't put that nail here again. But the man said, who are you? He said, I'm the ancient of days, so don't put that nail here again. And pack all the fetish power you have here. Go to that woman, tell her to take you to church. That was how this man surrendered his life to Jesus. But if he was a woman that has panic syndrome,
She'll ask him, yeah, 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 yeah. That is problem. Oh.
And this one will offer concussion. Now offer this. Now offer that. And they will thoroughly kill the person. If the person was already dead, the person will be deader because of the panic. 16. Rule number 16. Learn to attack the strategies of the enemy. Attack their strategies. You know the enemy follows a particular line always. Then attack that strategy. You know, anytime your spiritual life was on fire, the enemy brings one strange friend, male or female, who will now de-anoint you. And after de-anointing you, they bring their weapon forward. Attack the strategy of the enemy. 17. Carry out surprise attacks. Surprise attacks. So many of us now, our prayer life, our Bible reading is so stereotyped, so the enemy has memorized everything. So when you sit down and say you want to start praying, the enemy can analyze what you are going to say. Say, don't worry. Let's look at him. He will thank God. Then he will say, God, forgive me my sin. Then he will say, wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus. Then he will say, I want to go to bed now. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's all he will say. After that, we can now move in. So they have memorized your prayer point. They have memorized your program. They know it's stereotype. They know you hardly say something else. So they wait for you to finish your stereotype prayer. Then they now launch an attack. Then you wake up and say, ah, but I prayed. But I prayed. But I prayed. But I prayed. But there was no prayer. Because it's stereotype. Those who have knowledge of spiritual warfare, they pray outside their normal praying hour. They do the unexpected. This person just wakes up in the night. He's just going to the toilet to ease himself. The enemy said, well, the man is just going to ease himself and he's coming back to bed to sleep. But all of a sudden, this person just began to raise his voice and started praying. Unexpected attacks. Pray in your car. Pray in your toilet. Pray in the bedroom. Pray unexpectedly. That surprise attacks brings unexpected victory. It's a rule of war. And you know, in normal warfare, one of the strategies of normal warfare is surprise attack. You don't expect them at all. That's why most attacks take place at night when the enemy is asleep. I pray that the God of the suddenness will empower you in the name of Jesus. Rule number 18. Rule number 18 says, small rarely defeats large. Weak rarely defeats strong, if at all. When your strength is small, you will be defeated. When you are weak in the days of adversity, the person too will be defeated. Small does not unreally defeat large. Weak does not unreally defeat the strong. Rule number 19. Knowing how to win does not mean you will win. Knowing how to win does not mean you will win. Meaning that you could have knowledge. I went to school of deliverance. I've read this, I've read that. I've read this book, I've read that book. Until you apply it, you don't get anywhere. You can know the name of all the soap in Nigeria. This one is Lux, this one is this one is that. But until you apply it to your body, you remain dirty. So knowing how to win does not mean you will win. 20. And this is an important one. 20. In spiritual warfare, victory goes to the hardest and the meanest. That's the truth. In spiritual warfare, victory goes to the hardest and the meanest. Meaning that in spiritual warfare, we have no business being merciful. We have no business being kind. We wrestle against terrible powers, and the victory will go to the Hades and the meanest, like a wrestling match. In wrestling match, if you smash the head of your enemy with your forehead, it is allowed. In wrestling, if you twist your opponent's arm to the back, it is allowed. In wrestling, if you kick your opponent in the tummy, it is allowed. In wrestling, if you carry your opponent high and then slam them on the floor, it is allowed. So that's how the Bible says we wrestle. It's not. It didn't say we box. In boxing, there are rules. In wrestling, there are hardly any serious rules. So that's the language the Bible uses. So the victory goes to the hardest and the meanest. That's why you find some very terrible, wicked prayers in the book of the Psalms. Because victory goes to the hardest and the meanest. Rule 21. Defensive tactics are different from offensive tactics. Defensive tactics are different from offensive tactics. Many only know how to defend themselves, don't know how to attack. 22. Rule 22. Keep your enemies confused concerning the roots of your attack. Keep your enemies confused concerning the roots of your attack. Another rule of warfare. 23. Seek adequate spiritual knowledge. Seek adequate spiritual knowledge. The Bible said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Seek adequate spiritual knowledge. Don't just go into warfare with no knowledge at all. When you have knowledge of warfare, then you know the specific prayers to pray. I pray that the Lord will open our understanding. And anyone here that the enemy has blinded, so you cannot even know what to fight or how to fight, the Lord will open your understanding in the name of Jesus. 24. Do not abandon initiative to the enemy. Do not abandon the initiative to the enemy. You must take the initiative. You must bring the enemy to the battlefield. Goliath was boasting there at night. Goliath was used to standing up and seeing people running. There was a little boy talking to him. And he said, "So is this all you big men? This small boy has any name?" And he basically told David that he was going to waste David. The Bible now says something. It said David ran towards the giant. The shock of David running towards him must have bothered him. He wasn't used to people running towards him. He was used to people running away. David did not allow Goliath to take the initiative. The Bible says he ran towards the giant. I prophesy upon the life of somebody here. You shall run towards your Goliath and destroy him. You shall run towards your Goliath and destroy him. You shall run towards your Goliath and destroy him. You shall run towards your Goliath and destroy him. 25. Starve your enemies. Starve your enemies. One thing that you need to starve in your life is doubt. If you feed your doubt, you are feeding your enemies. Starve your enemies. If you don't starve them, they get stronger and they fight you. Rule 26. Your enemies must find you unpredictable. The Bible said the wind bloweth where it listeth. Said, "Thou hearest the sound thereof, but you don't know whence it cometh or whither it goeth." So is everyone who is filled with the Spirit of God. You must become mysterious to the enemy. Your enemies must find you completely unpredictable. They don't know when you are going to strike. They don't know the kind of prayer you're going to pray. They don't know the kind of song you're going to sing. Find you a mystery. And that way they are afraid of you completely. 27. Rule 27. Utilize the hours of the night for your warfare. Utilize the hours of the night in your warfare. The midnight is a night of warfare. The midnight is a period of evil spiritual transaction. Waging war at midnight is a powerful weapon indeed. If, for example, there's a coven meeting on and they are discussing your case, all of a sudden you begin to declare where you are, that associate yourself with all you people and you shall be scattered. Speak the word and it shall not stand. The way you are pronouncing it will begin to happen right there, and they come there with all kinds of things and they scatter with injury. I know a woman, a nurse, every time attack. And I gave her one of the first prayer points we used to give to people in Mountain of Fire in those days. And at a stage in that prayer, you begin to break covenant that you have formed consciously, unconsciously, from age 1, age 2, age 3, age 4. You mention your age one by one. And she went on. When she got to age 25, she was 65. When she got to age 25, she had the cry of a cat by the window. The crying was strange, but she continued. She continued. When she got to age 45, the cat came again, cried. When she now got to 65, the age where she was that time, as she was praying, a large dark cat moving through a window jumped on her bed. She called the blood of Jesus and intensified the prayers. The cat jumped out again, but the woman now closed the window on the cat. The force by which she closed that window was so terrible, it cut off the leg of the cat. And the cat in pain went away. And Madame slept. And she didn't think anything about it until she got to work next day. The assistant matron was rushed to the hospital at night. Something has cut off her leg. I pray for someone here. Any power projecting into animals to fight your life shall be disgraced. They 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 shall be disgraced. In the name of Jesus. Rule 28. Ensure that the prince of this world has nothing in you. Ensure that the prince of this world has nothing. If there is anything in your life that can attract the enemy, you need to repent from them very quickly and get rid of them from your system, because it will only strengthen your enemy's heart. The enemy has a powerful scanning and x-ray machine, and it can tell who is who. Ensure that the prince of this world has nothing in you. One occultic man that got born ago, many years ago, many of you will remember the book. The book was called Delivered from the Powers of Darkness, written by one Emmanuel Eni. Emmanuel Eni, before he surrendered his life to Jesus, said he was invited to an all-night prayer meeting. And they were singing, "I will carry Jesus up and throw Satan away. Up, up, Jesus. Down, down, Satan." They were singing. He said as they were singing, he looked at them. He felt sorry for them. That 90% of those who were in that vigil, if the devil could come with anger into that place, that it will embarrass them. Because most of those who were singing, "Up, up, Jesus, down, down, Satan," they are actually serving Satan, because there are instruments in their lives they have not destroyed. You are telling lies and you are saying, "Down, down, Satan." You are living in fornication, you are saying, "Down, down, Satan." It is yourself you are deceiving, not deceiving anybody. Rule number 29. Learn how to adapt quickly to changes in circumstances. Learn how to adapt quickly to changes in circumstances. If you don't adapt quickly, you still think yours what it is the former life you are living. The enemy will come and mess the person up. This was the mistake of Samson. He could not adapt to the changing circumstances. By the time Delilah came onto the scene, Samson did not know that the battle strategy has been altered. That circumstances have changed. That the Philistines were no longer interested in fighting hand to hand with him. They have adapted a different strategy. 30. Vary your tactics as required. Vary your tactics as required. Don't work like a robot. Vary your tactics as required. 31. Worry will lead to blunders and strengthen the enemy. Worry will lead to blunders and will strengthen the enemy. No wonder the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Say, believe in God and believe in me also. When you are worried, anxious, confused, you give the enemy an easy run. 32. You must be disciplined. You must be disciplined. You must be disciplined. I pray that the Lord will help all of us in Jesus' name. Recently now, they are sending text messages and scaring people that they are going to poison food around churches. They are going to do this. They are going to do that one. A lot of people, that message had no impact on them at all. Because when they come to church, they come to church, they pray, they go. They don't go around buying buns, puff puff, frijon, sobo, kuli kuli. They don't buy those things. But on Sunday, sometimes on Sunday here, you see some powerful madam with powerful dresses buying all kinds of things, fish and all kinds of things all around this place. You don't know who is selling them. You see somebody with Rastafarian here selling roasted beans with a bicycle, and you don't know where the bicycle is coming from. You don't know where it's coming from. It's a man, his ear is touching his bottom, and you queue up, you are buying the yam, you are buying what he's selling. It's such people who should worry, because you come to the house of God, you are not disciplined. How can you buy cooked yam with stew in the morning and fold it inside your bag and you have come to pray? That's why your mind will be indiscipline. How can somebody says he's celebrating 40th birthday 3 times and is distributing food to your house and you are eating it? A lot of people need to apply anointing oil in their throat and bind every demon of magnet in that throat. 33. You must know your battlefield. You must know your battlefield. When you do not know your battlefield, the enemy will mess you up. When you are in a war and you don't even understand the battle, the enemy will waste the person. This is where we're stopping tonight. But it will be good when you get home. Take your notes or buy a copy of this message. And study this one by one, one by one, one by one. Tonight, we have to pray some prayers. Warfare prayers. Rise up on your feet again. Rise up on your feet again. And as we pray these prayers, I want you to believe God for the impossible. All eyes closed. Like I said last week, you cannot fight successfully in spiritual warfare when you are not born again. When you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you cannot fight that kind of war. So if you are here tonight, you are not born again, you have not just surrendered your life to Jesus, better do so now by raising up your right hand and say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Jesus' name. Amen. With a loud voice, as many people as want victory here tonight, say, my Father!
arise in the thunder of your power and pursue my Goliath in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Two more prayers before I begin to pray. Holy Ghost bulldozer. Can I hear you shouting this loud and clear? Clear the way! Every power blocking my advancement. Can I hear you shouting it now? Holy Ghost! Let your voice be loud! In the name of Jesus! That's right, clear it away. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost bulldozer, clear away every power blocking my advancement. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, with a voice louder than anyone here, want to pray this traditional Pentecostal prayer that brings breakthrough. Oh God, Allah! Save me and I shall be saved. Heal me and I shall be healed. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and say, save me and I shall be saved. Heal me and I shall be healed. Masenta kaya bo shendera bakatanda rabasanta. Open your mouth. In Jesus' name we pray. Silence now. Please, I don't want you to say anything. Don't even say amen until I ask you to say amen. Father, we are here tonight. There are so many fighting silent battles. Silent battles. Battles they cannot share with anybody. Father, there are people here tonight who have been pushed to the wall by the darkness. Father, there are people here tonight too who have threatening Goliaths, telling them they will soon be destroyed. Father, there are people here tonight. The powers of their father's house has combined with the powers of their in-law houses to destroy them. Makatenda lekaribo kantea. Ribo shente lekanderaba. Father! Such people, wherever they are now, let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow upon them. Let the strong man that has been assigned to torment or to harass them, be separated from them. Be separated. 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 In the name of Jesus. Any token of darkness in the body of anyone, the token in the head, token in the eyes, token in the throat, token in the breast, token in the waist,
Every token of darkness
that the enemy is using as a ladder to harass or to torment anyone here,
Father,
let your sojourn angels begin to move and remove those things. No matter how deeply rooted they are, let them be uprooted. Father, I'm praying right now that all those who are here and they are under the bondage of familiar spirits,
you familiar spirits,
hear the word of the Lord. This person is no longer your candidate, so you cannot continue to control your destiny. So I bind you and I cast you out. I bind 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 you and I cast you out. I bind you and I cast you out. I bind you and I cast you out. In the name of Jesus. You, the agent of infirmity, pack all your luggages and depart now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. A louder amen.